Kjella låna med sig mer och mamma nu med mara dare. Fick du mia kutter där och mamma med på en satsa då. Sitter hon jag bischa hål och inte va. Inte vänner sen på bakalare där man är vänner. Sitter fick jag vandra sig bakalare fick jag med.
Oh mama, oh mama. Hey, this is Gerald Celente, and it's Trends this week. And you know, here we are. The markets. That Trump rally is still going on. Dow broke 22,000 just a little bit ago. Backed off 21,985. Nasdaq's down a little bit. Oil, beep, bop, it up, bop, boop. And it's still hanging around that $50 mark, but very important with oil. And I'm going to get back to the markets too. Saudi Arabia unemployment rate climbs to 12.7%. And you know it's higher than that. 12.7%. Saudi Arabia needs oil at $100 a barrel for its budget to break even. Saudi Arabia, when all else fails, they take you to war, is my slogan. And that's what they've done with the people by launching that war against the poorest country in the Middle East, the most defenseless country in the Middle East, Yemen. This oil issue is a real issue, and it's not going away. There's too much supply, not enough demand. They just closed down, two nuclear power plants they were going to build over there in South Carolina, and I love the deal. The taxpayers have to, the people that use energy, you know, everybody has to pay for the loss. Billions of dollars, so they increase in what it costs you in electric, so that the merger of state and corporate powers, the corporations don't have to lose any dough. They only screw the people. That's the way of the United States, whether it's the banks, whether it's the energy companies, whatever else, it shafts the people big time. Anyway, the reason they're not building this thing besides the cost overruns is we got fracked. That's right. That fracking is bringing natural gas prices really down. Doesn't pay to put up nuclear. And goes back to oil. Too much supply. Not enough demand. And it's worldwide. Also, alternatives are moving into the market. You know, the UK and France, Norway, and other countries have announced, you know, that within 20 years or so, no more combustion engines. And we did a trend alert on electric cars and how we don't see it happening. Right now, you have only 1% of Europe, China, and America has gone electric. But the problem is the batteries. You know, these are 1800s technology. We call it a little bit of a rust belt kind of technology. But let's look at some more of the facts. Toyota just announced that they can make a battery that can make electric cars go much further. And they think they're going to have it by within the next 2 years. Toyota said that by the early 2020s, it plans to sell cars equipped with solid-state batteries, which replace the damp electrolyte used to transport lithium ions inside today's batteries with a glass-like plate. These batteries can store nearly twice the energy compared with batteries with a liquid electrolyte. And Toyota aims to cut charge time because the solid electrolyte can safely handle higher currents. Goes back to oil. All things are connected, like the blood which unites us all, said Chief Seattle, or allegedly did. So, there we got it. The realities here are that oil is going the way of the Iceman, the candles, and the gas lamps. The more pressure on budgets from countries that rely on oil, the more internal pressure, and it will seep beyond, as we're seeing now, of course, with Venezuela. And the United States, of course, put sanctions on Venezuela because they had an election that America didn't like, which is none of our business. But at least they had an election. And I don't know the deals of it, but it was an election nonetheless. So, what's going on here? Why is the United States meddling in Venezuela? How about it's none of our business? Hey, how about those trains in New York, huh? How about Amtrak? How about the airports? How about the roads in America? Why don't you mind your own business? And then again, you look what's going on around the world. All things are connected. China. Whew. China's putting a load of dough now into becoming the next internet power, or I should say the cyber power, the digital power, putting in tens of billions, if not hundreds. And you know, one of our top trends for 2017, buy and sell China. China's the future, not America, not this underdeveloping nation. So going back to the markets, the reason the markets are going up is basically because of corporate earnings. But when you look at the corporate earnings, they've revised how they add them up. They have a new method now that kind of hides the problems and the real difficulties. So when you look at the old methods of adding up corporate earnings, they're not up 12%, you're down 5%. Take a company like Amazon. Excuse me. The reality is they have a P.E. ratio of about 184. It's common to have one around 14.5. And they're just about earning no money. So look at their stock. So we believe there's going to be a pullback in the markets. And it's going to come probably in the fall. A 10% correction. Gold is holding up in the 1270s, 1,276 as we speak, because the economy isn't that strong in the United States. It's a continuation of the Obama economy with our GDP growing only about 2% a year. This is the lowest recovery after a recession since World War II. All the money's going to the top. So, there you got it. On the economic front, retail's still weak. These cryptocurrencies, by the way, this new digital Bitcoin cash rally, it's up over 200%. And we see it continuing to grow. And we're putting out a trend alert on this. And by the way, if you want to subscribe to the Trends Journal, go to trendsresearch.com, trendsresearch.com, or call us at 845-331-3500, 845-331-3500. And we know people are having a difficult time. We try to make it available to everyone at a price they could afford, but it's only $99 a year for the digital copy. And that includes Trends in the News, Trends Monthly, Trend Alerts each week, and, of course, Trends in the News broadcasts each weekday night. So we're putting out a cryptocurrency trend alert. And we believe this is going to continue. Some people are comparing it to the Dutch tulip mania. It's bigger than Dutch. It's bigger than a country. It's global. Remember that thing they used to have on the back of a buck? In God we trust. Well, we're going cashless. So cashless societies, there is no God to trust anymore. There's no connection to the country when you go cashless. You're not proud of your rubles, your dollars, your lira, or in case of Venezuela, your bolivar. Look at Egypt, running an inflation rate about 35%. You think the people want to go cashless in Argentina with their inflation rate and go into digital? So we see the future of digital quite strong. There may be ups and downs. And of course, with digital, you're holding on to nothing. And there could be a cyber attack. There could be a government regulation that destroys it for the time being. But we don't see it going away in the global age. As more and more countries go cashless, we believe digital will continue to grow. And new currencies, by the way, beyond Bitcoin and the others. So this is a trend you want to consider looking at very closely. And again, following the blockchain split, the digital new currency rallied nearly 200%. $214 to $628. So again, it's a volatile market and will continue to be like that. But long term, we don't see it going away. Again, it's a cashless society. Places like Sweden, Denmark, I mean, they're going cashless. So who loves the krona? You lose connection to your country's currency as there's nothing to show for it, only a name. And the name of the game is how much dough you can make with the dough that you have. End of story. So those are two trends, the electric car trend that we see, that we were a bit negative on up until this new breakthrough with Toyota and Bitcoins, which we've been on the fence with, digital currencies, cryptocurrencies. But now we've moved forward on it and see possibilities for development. Hey, how about that Trump got rid of that guy, Scaramucci? Boy, he didn't last too long, did he? Wonder why. Couldn't be because of the things that he was caught saying, calling up a New Yorker reporter. Anyway. And who did they replace him with? Retired Major General John Kelly. And he, of course, was leading the Department of Homeland Security. And the Center for Constitutional Rights issued this statement. And they're right here in New York. General Kelly's aggressive oversight on the illegal military prison at Guantanamo Bay disqualifies him. This is when he took over Homeland Security. To head the Department of Homeland Security, presiding over a population of detainees not charged or convicted of crimes, over whom he had maximum custodial control, Kelly treated them with brutality. His response to the detainees' peaceful hunger strike in 2013 was punitive force feeding, solitary confinement, and rubber bullets. Furthermore, Kelly sabotaged efforts by the Obama administration to resettle detainees, consistently undermining the will of his commander-in-chief. Consistently undermining the will of his commander-in-chief. Hey, that's Trump now, huh? The commander-in-chief took over from the other commander-in-chief. Kelly's temperament and actions make him unfit to lead an agency that currently holds tens of thousands of migrants, including many fleeing violence and many in long-term indefinite detention. Kelly's recent vow to end, quote, political correctness in U.S. national security policy is a thinly veiled endorsement of policies and practices that are illegal and immoral, including torture and racial and religious profiling. His statement is a clear warning sign, and the Senate must reject his nomination to preserve and protect the rule of law. Well, obviously, they didn't reject it. So here's this guy that was running Guantanamo, was in Iraq with the slaughter, leading the slaughter of innocent people, on a war based on lies. And it's the disgusting neo-feudal society of America that the criminals who started the war against Iraq have not been brought to trial. The Bushes, the Colin Powells, and you know what a colon is. Crap goes through the colon, and it came out of Colin Powell's mouth. That's all that little crapster ever has done, leading our nation to war with his phony little vial of proof in front of the United Nations back in 2003. That little slimy SOB should be brought up on war crime charges along with Rumsfeld and Penis Cheney and Bush. You think of it, a Bush, a penis, and a colon. It's perfect. It's America. But no war crime tribunals, but they harshest penalties to we the little people for breaking the law of minor offenses. And boy, those cops love to get tough with us. And of course, Trump said, you know, get tougher with us. So now you look at the Trump administration. It's run by generals. We got General Mad Dog over there as our head of the Defense Department. We got now Kelly over here as the chief of staff. McMaster, head of the NSA, one general after another. And I was thinking about it, and it fits Trump's personality perfectly. You may recall we did a trend alert for those of you who subscribe to the Trends Journal and Trends Monthly, on how Trump went to military school. And I've talked about this on Trends this week on Progressive Radio Network, that when I was a little kid, I even wrote it about it in my book with Zidzi Gave Honey Boy. You can get that, of course, by going to our website, trendsresearch.com. It's about growing up as an Italian-American in the Bronx and Yonkers and what this country used to be like when it was really the land of opportunity and what a great family life was. It doesn't exist anymore. Now they make a big deal of a thing called a work-at-home, a stay-at-home mom. Well, most moms would stay at home in those days anyway. Yeah, stay at home to raise your child rather than 6 weeks after you have him, putting him in a little concentration camp. Daycare workers getting paid minimum wage. Isn't that great, huh? Rather than having a mother there, a foreigner, stranger. I don't mean foreign in the sense of nationalities. I mean foreign in the sense of how foreign could it be from being a mother to being in the hands of a stranger. A little bit different. Anyway. In that book, I wrote about how they, every time we got out of line, they would threaten to punish us by sending us to military school. And Trump was so uncontrollable, they actually had to send him to military school. This little joint up in Cornwall, New York, looks like a little concentration camp. Imagine, teenage boy. What do you want? You know, if you're not transgender, if you're straight, you want girls. And then you want a car. You love sports. Of course, my mother, may her soul rest in peace, is a great cook. So instead of having girls' cars, they had an MG midget when Trump was in military school and a wonderful girlfriend, my mother's fine food. He's in this little concentration camp, learning how to make his bed with proper corners and dressed up in military drag and eating crappy food. I guess that's why he still eats fast food. Just thought of that now. Never knew good food. So now it's just a continuation of military school. We got a guy like this, Kelly, who according to the Center for Constitutional Rights said he wouldn't obey his commander in chief. Now he's Trump's commander. He's Trump's general. Trump loves these guys in uniform. That's where he spent his formative years. And now you have a White House that's stacked with generals. Isn't that great? This is a violation of what this country was founded upon. It's a military mindset. No room for peace in America. Nobody talks about it. Again, if you want to support peace, we suggest you go to OccupyPeace.us. OccupyPeace.us, because it's only about us, and we're not doing anything to keep peace movement going. And one of the positive things, by the way, with Trump, that's not making the news, is that it's kind of like a ceasefire going on in there in Syria, isn't there? Yeah, they don't talk about that. And the neocons are doing everything they can to destroy any kind of warming up to Russia. You look at the papers, particularly the New York slime, the toilet paper of record, and it's one piece of propaganda against Russia after another, in all of them. In parades, Russia puts ambitions on display. Moscow, Russia's global military ambition was on display Sunday when the country celebrated Navy Day with large military parades, not only in St. Petersburg, but also off the coast of Syria. Big deal, off the coast of Syria. That's the only port that they have. The United States has 800 military bases around the world. They're in 80 countries. You little slimy lowlives in the New York Times, why don't you put that there? I'll tell you why you don't put that there. Because you're prostitutes. You're media whores. You get paid to put out. The parade of ships, submarines, and aircraft were held at Russian naval bases in Sevastopol, which Russia annexed from Ukraine in 2014, and in Tartus, Syria, where Russia is expanding its military presence. In 2015, Moscow intervened in the civil war in Syria. Hey, Katsun, Ivan Nekoporenko, who wrote this, they were invited into Syria by Assad. The United States has bases and has invaded Syria, a sovereign nation, in violation of international law. You little low-life piece of crap that won't put that there. Because you work for the New York slime, the toilet paper of record. There's not a man or woman among you people that keep putting out this propaganda. But again, you call a prostitute by its name, a spade, a media whore that gets paid to put out. Putin hopes for relief under a Trump presidency backfire spectacularly. Yep. That's from his New York slime this week. A little more than a year after a Russian effort to interfere in the American presidential election came to light, the diplomatic fallout and unraveling of the relationship between Moscow and Washington on a scale not seen in decades, is taking its toll. This is by David Sanger. Oh, this guy puts out propaganda continually. Hey, Davy boy! Hey, little David! A little more than a year after the Russian effort to interfere in the American presidential election, hey, slime ball! Hey, lowlife! Hey, prostitute piece of crap! Show us some proof. Show us some evidence. Not one shred of evidence. Only assessments by the CIA and three agencies concluded, and they said 17, and these are handpicked little flunkies that said their assessments come down to the belief that. Not one shred of proof. Go to court with no proof. David Sanger, or is it sucker? Sucker up, man. Yeah, come and see me. I'll call at you in front of your face. You know how to get in touch with me. All of you little low lives selling war and hatred. God forbid we should have peace. God forbid we should work with Russia. This guy just keeps going on. President Vladimir Putin bet to Donald Trump, who had spoken fondly of Russia and its authoritarian leader. Authoritarian leader. Goes on, Congress is not ready to forgive the annexation of Crimea. Not ready to forgive. Oh, the hell are you to forgive the annexation of Crimea? What right do you have to get involved in this? You little low-life people that you love, you call your politicians. Hey, you love what they did in Libya, don't you? Oh, yeah, keep bowing down and suck up to your Obama, your Clinton, your Samantha Power, and Susan Rice for doing it. Oh, yeah, and you love what you did in Afghanistan, only 16 years going on. Millions killed in Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, Libya, and Congress can't forgive Russia for annexing Crimea, which they've been there longer than America's been a country. Sanger, suck up, low life. What else does this clown write? So with the decision to order that hundreds of American diplomats and Russian working for the American embassy to leave their post, Mr. Putin, ready for this? Known as a great tacitician, but not a great strategist. He's a great tacitician, but not a great strategist. Would you call that subjective? Sanger, suck up? Sanger, prostitute? Who the hell are you to say what this guy is? He's not a great, oh yeah. Oh, but you know what? Bush was a great strategist. Oh, and so too was Obama. Can't forget about Clinton. Great strategists. For now, American officials and outside experts. Official what? Outside experts, the clowns that you talk to, the other suck-ups that sell your agenda. The New York Times has taken us to war after war after war. The facts are there. Hey, you remember them aluminum tubes and yellow cakes they were selling, huh? Yep, to get us into the Iraq War. American officials and outside experts said on Sunday, he seems to believe, meaning Putin, his great leverage lies, you ready for this? In escalating the dispute, Cold War style, rather than subtly trying to manipulate events with a mix of subterfuge, cyber attacks, and information warfare. Total BS. The United States Senate and Congress nearly unanimously passed sanctions against Russia that Europe is saying and other countries are saying are illegal and against international law. And you got little slimers like this selling this kind of propaganda. What was Putin supposed to do? Oh, you Obama fans, you probably don't know this and probably you don't want to hear it. But again, you wouldn't be listening to this station. So why am I even saying that? You remember after he left office, they confiscated some Russian property and threw out Russian diplomats. But that's okay. When Putin does it, he's escalating the dispute Cold War style. Rather than trying to manipulate events with a mix of subterfuge, cyber attacks, and information warfare. This man, Sanger, man, a boy, is disgusting for selling this hatred. It's all they do is sell hatred. Yeah. Another New York slime story. Putin derides American sanctions and Trump investigations as boorish. Last November, Moscow's political elite cheered Mr. Trump's election victory, expecting that he would quickly reverse sanctions imposed under President Barack Obama, which included the seizure in December of two Russian diplomatic compounds in New York and Maryland. compounds. Oh, yeah, like them ISIS compounds that you're always bombing. Oh, the New York slime, you should go to yesterday's paper. Full two-page spread of the destruction in Mosul. They don't blame it on Americans. They level this place. They blame it on ISIS's. They don't blame it on George W. Bush and all of the Clintons and the others that supported the Iraq War that created the conditions for this. Nobody talks about that. There was no ISIS. There was no Al-Qaeda in Iraq, even though you lying little SOBs in the Republican Party said they were ties to Al-Qaeda, to Saddam Hussein. Hatred after hatred, it does not stop. Yeah, here it is. Survivors emerge from a graveyard inside the latest ISIS holdout in Mosul. Survivors emerge from a graveyard brought to you by the bombs of America. But the lousy New York Times, hey, it was ISIS's fault. We only killed about 40,000 people there, but we're not going to report that because we're the New York slime. The toilet paper a record. This policy of bombing city after city into oblivion, it hasn't stopped since Dresden. Hey, how about Hiroshima? Why not Nagasaki? Imbeciles, morons, psychopaths, and sociopaths, welcome to the destruction of America. And then we got that other, I mean, one clown after another. This is the only people they put out there, like this guy, Senator Lindsey, did you come out of the closet yet, Graham? Trump says destroying North Korea, Senator Graham, Trump says destroying North Korea is a good military option. I got it. North Korea got a missile. Oh, yeah. They got an ICBM. But front page stories. Hardly reported was the analysis that came out that this thing exploded upon reentry. This is a country with a GDP, North Korea, you know, about the size, it's about West Virginia, half the size of West Virginia or something. Population the size of New York State. And it got a weapon. And one could reach the United States. All right, I got a gun. Does that mean I'm going to shoot somebody? A lot of countries have nuclear weapons. That mean they're going to use them? If I was a North Korean leader, I would have a nuclear weapon because I know what the United States does to countries that don't have them, like what they did to Hussein and like what they did to Libya after Gaddafi agreed to give them up, and they gave him up, man. And you remember Hillary Clinton laughing and how delighted she was when they asked her, how did you feel when you found out Muammar Gaddafi was killed? Killed? How about sodomized with swords and knives? We came, we saw, he died. Oh, aren't you sad she's not in the White House? It would be so wonderful. Now we could be on red alert now with Russia. That's why North Korea has nuclear. Because they know that if the United States attacks them, bombs away. Speaking on the Today Show today, Senator Lindsey Graham talked up the idea attacking North Korea, saying he's been assured by President Trump that there is a military solution to the situation. And that if thousands die, it would be in North Korea. This guy is sick. He is, should be in an insane asylum. And he is. He's in the Senate, along with little Chuckie Schumer and all the other disgusting, arrogant people that you call your politicians. Graham shrugged off the idea of thousands dying, saying, quote, "It may be provocative, but not really, since those thousands weren't Americans." Isn't that great? And of course, Graham knows best. You know, I used to be on Fox. Every time I was on the damn Fox, this clown would, excuse me, Mr. Salenti, we have Senator Graham, everybody, oh, jeez. They don't have me on anymore. Nobody has me on anymore. Because they're all prostitutes. They only want to sell their lives and promote their sick people because they're a reflection of the media. The people they bring on are the reflection of the media. Lindsey Graham. Military solution. Yeah, you got a great one in Libya, man. Oh, your great military solution in Afghanistan. Perfect military solution in Iraq. Hey, but we're going to do a new one in Sudan now. We blow that joint up when we separated the place from south and north, and now it's really hell. And we're in Somalia over there, but we got our SEALs and our Green Berets and the best of the best slaughtering other people and getting ISISes wherever we can melt them. It's perfect that Trump got all these military guys in the White House because you guys, Kelly and McMaster and Mattis, just for the record, you have not won a war since World War II. But you guys love to talk tough and love to kill people. Not one military victory. Show me. 16 years into Afghanistan. 2.5 trillion wasted, given to the military industrial complex and their mercenaries. Hundreds of thousands, if not million, dead. Iraq. Over $3 trillion spent. Over a million dead. Entire nation destroyed. But boy, these guys love to walk around with their medals on their chest. And salute, I salute to you. Not my trip, man. Keep it to yourself. Don't push it on me. You wonder why the military, the police in this nation are so militarized. Wonder where they get it from. Can't figure it out. No peace on earth. Goodwill toward men or women. Lindsey Graham, a clown of a nothing. One of my four rules of peace. If you call them out, take them out. Yeah. Hey, Lindsey, you don't like the guy running Korea? I say we put you and him in a ring, put him on pay-per-view, and watch you duke it out with him. Fat boy. Could be the two fat boys going at each other. Fat boy. Gutless little clown. Murderer. All these people hanging up their American flags. All these people saluting. This is not what this country was built upon. Not according to the Constitution. It's what's devolved into. It just keeps getting worse. Okay, we got a caller, Bruce from Tennessee.
Hey, Jay, I don't know. Morning, I should say. I like what you're saying. However, I have to correct you because you're wrong as far as North Korea as opposed to New York State. North Korea has a population of 25.5 million people, which is closer to the population of Texas at 26.5 million people. And New York State has shrunk in the last 10 years, and their current population is somewhere around 19.75 million people. So that's all I wanted to say.
Okay.
And keep up the good work, will you, Jerry? I appreciate listening to you.
Thank you. Yeah, well, you know, I should be thrown out of office for this. Yeah, okay, the population of Texas. Yeah, we are shrinking here. Boy, you go up to upstate New York, it's so sad. It's so sad what's happened up here. You know, up in places like Syracuse and Rochester and Auburn. Places that once were thriving. You know, in my family, when they emigrated from Italy, they went up to Auburn, New York, around that area, farmers. And they got washed out in a flood. And then they moved down to New York City. Yeah, my father spoke very fondly growing up along the canal. And he used to be able to, I forgot how it was, but, you know, the donkeys were pulling the barges in those days. And he remembered how the guys that were driving the donkeys, what they used to yell out when they used to hit the whip to keep pushing them. But you go up there now and, you know, you think about it, Xerox and Kodak and IBM, poof, gone. You know, a Kodak story, I was a keynote speaker. God, I was back in about 1988 for the National Association of whatever representing the manufacturers of camera equipment. It's down in Florida. And I remember this guy, he was very geeky and a nice guy. And after I gave my talk, it was following actually, because I was just starting to make my name because I correctly called the crash of 1987. And anyway, after I gave he gave his speech talking about how film and the cameras were going to become obsolete in the future. And afterwards, you know, we talked, and I did, you know, I wasn't, you know, nearly where I am now, mentally or spiritually. And I'm listening to the guy, but, you know, I'm paying attention to him, but not really absorbing it really well. And he's telling me how obsolete all this was going to become. And he's saying, nobody's listening to me. None of these people want to pay any attention to what I'm saying. They're going to be obsolete. They're going to be obsolete. And they became obsolete. You don't have those dark rooms anymore. Rolls of film. This guy saw it coming, but nobody wanted to believe him. I did a talk one time for the National Coffee Association. I used to do all these associations. And this is back 1991. Yeah, I'd already written Trends 2000, Trend Tracking, and been on all the media. And I was talking about the growth in coffee, going to organic and to high-end coffees, premium coffees. This is the days of Maxwell House, chock full of nuts and all that. Gourmet coffee. And again, it was at one of these expensive places in Florida. And after I was the lunch break and I changed my clothes and they had this buffet around the pool and I had on a pair of sunglasses. Didn't look like anything like me in the jacket I had on before and tie. And these two guys in front of me saying, this guy talking about gourmet coffees. What the hell does he know? What a bunch of crap that Trends guy is dishing out. And of course, we know the story from there. Chock full of nuts is that heavenly coffee. You don't hear that anymore. So you can see the trends coming, but people don't want to pay attention to them because they're locked into their belief systems. We've got a few minutes left. If anybody would like to call, the number is 1-888-874-4888. And you know, when I talk about the propaganda, it's nonstop. There, by the way, the United States is now talking about sending more weapons into Kiev. And here's how the Wall Street Journal writes it. U.S. military officials and diplomats say the arms, which they describe as defensive, are meant to deter aggressive actions by Moscow, which the U.S. and others say has provided tanks and other sophisticated armaments, as well as military advisors to rebels fighting the Kiev government. Now, we saw the pictures of the phony tanks that the media said Russia was bringing in, but never any proof. And remember, it was the United States that overthrew the democratically elected government of Yanukovych in 2014. And we wrote about this was going to happen in our Trends Journal leading up to the Sochi Olympics. That's when the real hatred under the Obama administration started. By the time the Sochi Olympics happened, America's perception of Russia was at 1992 levels. That's how well it worked, because of the New York slime and others selling propaganda of hate. It goes on to say here, since Russia invaded and annexed Ukraine's Crimean Peninsula in 2014, no, they did not invade. They did not invade. They were there. They did not invade. They did bring in more troops because they were concerned about what Kiev was doing. But they did not invade. Invade means they weren't there, and they've been there, again, longer than America's been a country. An outright lie, just like the outright lie of that Sanger sucker who says that Russia meddled in the elections. And now we got, you know, all you folks out there that want to get rid of Trump. Who's waiting in the wings? Pence. Yeah, what a pensive crap. He's over there in Estonia. Pence rips Russia, affirms NATO's role in region. Yep. At this very moment, Russia continues to seek to redraw international borders by force, undermining the democracies of foreign nations and divide the free nations of Europe one against another. He says this, and they let him get away with it. Okay. For those of you that want the inside scoop for the man on the inside, I suggest you go to our website, trendsresearch.com, go to conferences, and there's a Gary Null was there, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, Reagan's former assistant treasury secretary when we launched Occupy Peace. Here's a video by Dr. Paul Craig Roberts that you will hear and see like nothing you've ever heard before. It's the United States that's violating this. They're talking about Russia now having military drills on their border. The United States and NATO had 40,000 troops in Poland. The United States is in violation of the agreement that was made with Reagan and Gorbachev, that NATO would not expand beyond where it was when they broke up the Soviet Union. And now what's happened? Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania. One country after another. The Baltic states have gone into NATO. It's NATO that's threatening Russia. The United States supplying weapons to Kiev. Isn't that great? Have a good commute home tonight, folks. Yeah, it's nice and hot down in them subways. I say let's rip out all those seats like they're talking about so we can jam more people in those ancient cars. Because we got to send our money to other countries. The business of America is war. The business of China is business. China is the 21st century. The United States was the 20th century. We got imbeciles, psychopaths, megalomaniacs running the show. So thank you again for tuning in this week to Trends This Week. If you'd like to subscribe to the Trends Journal, we suggest you go to trendsresearch.com, trendsresearch.com, or call 845-331-3500. It's only $99 a year. And by the way, we put up a YouTube, one a week, of a Trends in the News. So go to the Gerald Celente or Trends Journal YouTube sites, and you can see what we're doing. History before it happens. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week on Progressive Radio Network. Trends This Week. Sitte donja bisha olo ideva, idevene sempre bakalare dal manerene. Se ci picchia bande se bakalare.